Let's turn together in our Bibles to Philippians, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. We continue in our look together, preaching the gospel together from Philippians. And we turn to chapter 2 once again, carrying on from where we left off. Our focus last Sunday afternoon for our Old Year's service was the verses 9 through 11 of chapter 2. In the Pew Bibles, page 1349, by the way, 1349. And we spoke of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We could look back over the Lord's dealings with us in the course of 2021 and acknowledge Jesus was Lord over 2021 and rejoice to know He is Lord today, He ever will be, and He's accomplishing His purposes. And we're carrying on with the implications for our lives going forward. And so we will pick up with Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to begin at the beginning of the chapter once again, just to have it before us in a package, so to speak. Philippians 2, the verses 1 through 18. This is the Word of God. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. So far from the Holy Word of God, I urge you to keep your Bibles open if you're able. And I'll direct our attention to the verses 12 and 13 as our text for this morning. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. This is the Word of God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, here we are, the beginning of a new year. I trust that as you got up this morning, you realized you had an agenda before you. If you're here this morning, you are giving testimony to the fact that you understood your agenda was to be in church, among God's people, beginning the new year in the presence of God Himself. And I trust we realize that as we begin every morning, and perhaps as we begin this new year as well, our agenda is that we are going to live for the glory of God in everything we do, in everything we think and say. And that means as we begin this new day, as we begin this new year, we look ahead and we say, we have work to do. God has given us a responsibility and a calling. And that's what I want us to face together as we take up the language of this text. It begins very directly, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's the task. That is what I set before you. That is what has been set before us in Scripture as our responsibility generally, always, in every circumstance. And so certainly it is our task for the year of our Lord 2022 and beyond. As long as the Lord would have us here, as long as the Lord has not called us home to be with Him where He is and to behold Jesus' glory, this is the responsibility that is set before us. And we speak of then working out the details of the blessing we have come to enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been looking together at the blessing that is ours in Christ. We've been through the Christmas season. We've been reminded of the wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich, He became poor, that we through His poverty might become rich, that by the grace of God He might make many rich. We are rich in His grace. And because we are rich by the grace of God, not materially, so to speak, although that could also be said largely compared to the rest of the world, but we are rich in His grace. We are rich in the blessing of salvation. We are rich in the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, because God, who is rich in mercy, has not left us in our sins, but has made us alive together with Christ. It is by grace that we have been saved. And because it is by grace that we have been saved, we now have this obligation, this responsibility, this privilege, this calling to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That may confuse us a little bit, and I want to make sure that we are not given to any misunderstanding about that. We'll get into that. But what we see here is the responsibility to work in, to work out the details of the blessing we enjoy in Jesus Christ. So working it out because God is working is the message that I proclaim this morning for our way forward in 2022. We're going to try to make our way through four things. There is the prescription, that is the calling, the responsibility, the command. There is the aspect of passion. We are to do this with fear and trembling, with a sense of awe before this glorious God. There is the promise, because God is working. God is at work. That's our hope, and that's our confidence. And then we speak of the blessing of pleasure. God is doing all these things to enable you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And what a delight that is, not only for Him, but then also for us. So in the first place, we speak of prescription. This is the command. And we may trip over this command a little bit. Work out your own salvation. If we just take this line by itself, we would say, well, we have some theological problems with that. Work and salvation. That doesn't seem to be right. Those two things don't seem to go together, because we know and we confess throughout Scripture that salvation is not by works. Salvation is not an accomplishment that we attain to, that we arrive at by our efforts. And so we wonder, we just remind ourselves then of the ways in which this is clearly said to us. The grace of God shown to us, Romans 3, verse 28, is by grace alone and not by works, not by works. Or Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it is by grace that you have been saved, not by works, lest anyone should boast. It is only by God's grace through faith. And we praise God for that reality. So we need to understand and appreciate that the command here to work out your own salvation is not telling us to work toward our own salvation. It's not telling us to work for our own salvation. It's telling us to work out the blessing of salvation you have been given. And we can see, we have seen these things in Philippians as well, in terms of the givens that are shown us. Philippians 1 verse 6, confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's God's work. God began the work. It wasn't you who took the first step with regard to your salvation. God begins the good work by his grace. 1 verse 29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. The blessing that you believe has been granted to you. It has been given to you. It is the gift of God. It is the grace of God for you. It comes along with the gift of suffering. And we don't always like that. We look back over the course of the things we've been through and we confess that too. It's been given. It's been granted in God's wisdom and grace, not only that we should believe, but also that we should suffer together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God that we may be with Jesus Christ, living in glorious fellowship with him. So the prescription here that we work out our own salvation is not work toward your salvation, not work for your salvation, but work from the blessing that you have been saved. Work it out in the joy and blessing that God has given you this glorious gift. I use it as an analogy. The responsibility that we have as husbands and wives who are married, we have a responsibility, an ongoing responsibility to work at our marriages. And when we say work at your marriage, it doesn't mean you're not married. It means you work at your marriage because you're married. And therefore, when we say work out your salvation, it doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you work out the details because you are saved. And before we get into pressing this responsibility on us and the implications and the weight of this responsibility, I need to say one more thing. If I address anyone here this morning who is living in unbelief, anyone who does not know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, anyone who does not have what 1 John 5 verse 13 speaks about, the assurance, these things have been written that you may know that you have eternal life. If I address anyone, also via live stream this morning, who does not have that confidence, I urge you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I urge you to recognize that this command here, work out your own salvation, is a very difficult command, a very all-encompassing command. And outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you may say to yourself, well, that's a tall order, but I guess I'll do what I can. I guess I'll do my best and I'll see what I can accomplish. And I want to say to anyone who thinks that they are going to do that toward their salvation, for their salvation, is deceiving themselves. You would be deceiving yourself because you can't do it. Now that may sound harsh, it may sound mean, but I urge you to recognize that is said to you in love. And the encouragement that the blessing is not that you should do this. The blessing of salvation is not that we show ourselves to God as those who have done something that should impress Him. The blessing of salvation is not that we stand before God and say, "Hey, I'm somebody." No, we say, "I have nothing, I've done nothing, I am nobody in and of myself, but my confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done." And the Lord Jesus Christ has promised, and this is what I say to everyone, all of us need to be reminded of this, even if we have been believers resting in Jesus for many years. "All who come to me," Jesus says, "will in no wise be cast out." So we come to Jesus. We come maybe for the first time, or we come for the 7,000th time. We come to Jesus because we know that we find our life. We rejoice in our salvation in Him. So Paul says, "You are to do this, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." And here the challenge for us to appreciate is that what we're talking about is not the idea of putting on a pious front, putting on our pious face and saying, "I'm a holy person, and you should look at me, and you should look like me." No. We're not talking about making an impression only when people are watching. And maybe this is an encouragement that all of us, or a challenge that all of us need to take hold of as well. Are there times in our lives, have there been times in our lives over the recent past where we have been on our own and we have been engaged in things in secret that we would never want anybody, not least the Apostle Paul, to see us doing? And we need to repent of that, to work out the details of our own salvation. Always, in the presence of all, in every circumstance, is the responsibility. And Paul says further, work out your own salvation. Every one of us needs to take up this responsibility as our own task, not somebody else's task. And sort of the corresponding connection to what the Lord will show us, what Paul says about the Lord in 2 verse 13, to will and to do. God is at work for you both to will and to do. We're in the time, aren't we, of resolutions. Have you made any New Year's resolutions? You have any resolve that you're going to be a better Christian? You're going to work harder at this or that? Well, the challenge is that we often, in our lives, and I'll just speak for myself, we have good intentions, right? We have good intentions that we do not follow through on. And I may think to myself, you know, I wish I were a better husband. I wish I were a better father and a grandfather. I wish I were a more dynamic preacher. I wish I were a more diligent pastor. And we can have what Dietrich Bonhoeffer would be called many wish dreams. We sort of live in dreamland in terms of what we wish we were. And yet the task is not only to wish, but to do. Sometimes we say the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's an excuse for us as Christians. The responsibility is here that we live out of the joy of our salvation with an eagerness in every aspect of our lives to live for the glory of God. Last time, we looked at verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him. Why did God exalt Jesus by having Him raised from the dead, ascended to heaven, seated at His right hand? Because Jesus had gone all the way to the cross, even the cursed death of the cross. Therefore, He has highly exalted Him. But now we have seen in what we're looking at now at verse 12, that God's therefore in verse 9 is followed by our therefore in verse 12. Therefore, you walk in joyful obedience, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is your prescription. That is your responsibility. Now, we say we do that with passion, in the second place, with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. Now, how are we to understand that? Fear and trembling, I urge you to appreciate here in the context of the blessing of salvation that is ours in Christ, does not mean we sit there with chattering teeth, biting our fingers, wondering what's going to happen next, or wondering, am I actually going to make it? Am I actually going to see the Lord Jesus Christ in glory? Fear and trembling here does not translate for us as Christians who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ into a fearful foreboding of the fact that I'm going to go to hell. Because by the grace of God, we are not going to go to hell. The Lord Jesus Christ has endured hell in our place. So fear and trembling for us as Christians is with a sense of awe and wonder at the blessing that God has shown me His grace in Jesus Christ. So I don't have to be afraid of hell. And this aspect of working out my salvation with fear and trembling is not about I'm going to have to keep paying as I go and see if I actually make the grade or complete the payment scheme. No, the payment has been done. Jesus Christ has paid it all. We have been saved by grace through faith. And in that joy, that sense of awe with fear and trembling, we desire to work out our own salvation. We want the details to be pressed into our lives. And maybe, boys and girls, you've had to work in a baseball glove. Maybe you pour some oil into it and you work the leather so it's soft and supple. You work it in. And that's what we want to be doing, is working out the details with a sense of awe before God, that we are His children and get to live for His glory in the confidence that this is our Father's world. And so with passion, we have a desire to work out the details with regard to our devotional lives. We want to be like the psalmist, the blessed man in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who meditates daily on the law of God. That we have a desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That we want to be passionate and urgent in lives of prayer before the face of God. The Lord Jesus Christ has said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." But Jesus' brother, James, has reminded us in James 4, verse 2, many times you do not have because you do not ask. Or you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. We need to be passionate in prayer. We need to be like our father Jacob many generations ago, who pleaded with God and held on to God in that sense and said, "Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me." And I wonder if we are that passionate in prayer. This certainly convicts me in terms of the passionless way I can approach God in prayer. And we need to acknowledge that God gives His grace and His Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and who groan inwardly, asking Him for these gifts, as we confess in Lord's Day 45. So the passion that we have to work out the details in our lives means a passion for prayer. It means a passion for putting sin to death. You have been raised with Christ. You died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Therefore, put to death all of those earthly aspects, sinful aspects that show themselves in your lives. We have an urgency to strive at fighting against sin. Working out the details means we work at the blessing of fellowship and hospitality, thanking God for what we do enjoy and rejoicing that it is a privilege to be used in this way. And it is a privilege to be put out of our way for the sake of the blessing of others, that we may show a love for the stranger, because while we were still strangers and sinners before God, He loved us and gave Himself for us. Working out the details means we'll work on our relationships, means that we will not allow brokenness to fester insofar as depends upon you. Be at peace with all men. And it does depend upon you. This is our passion. These are our responsibilities. Now, if we are taking this in, allowing ourselves to be convicted of our responsibility to work, this is going to take work. It's going to take praying and working. Pray and work and work. There may be a sense in which we find ourselves overwhelmed. There may be a sense in which we realize this is too much for me. But we've only looked at verse 12. And it's followed by verse 13. And the two have to go hand in hand. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is the Lord. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God is at work. That's our confidence. That's the blessing we confess. And we might sometimes tie ourselves into theological knots and say, well, there's human responsibility and there's divine sovereignty. And what do you do with those two? It seems like they're at odds with each other. And sometimes people, like we would say, people who are of a man-centered theology, we might say Arminian theology, they would emphasize man's responsibility. But on the other hand, people who are of, we would call a hyper-Calvinistic approach, they would say, no, it's God's sovereignty. And Charles Spurgeon, who was reformed in his understanding of salvation, you could say, he would say, what are you talking about in terms of the struggle between human responsibility and divine sovereignty? How do you reconcile friends? They don't need to be reconciled. We speak of both. And with regard to working out the details of the salvation we enjoy, we say we are 100% responsible in the confidence that God is 100% sovereign and gracious and at work. And if you feel overwhelmed with all of the things that you would wish to do in the new year and desires to step forward and to step up and to step out with the realization that, you know, this is just too much for me, well, the thing is, it is too much for you. But God is at work for you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. God is at work. And that's a glorious thing for us to realize. Again, Philippians 1 verse 6, He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He won't stop His work. He doesn't give up. He doesn't leave you to yourself. God is at work. Thanks be to God. And He works to bring us beyond good intentions, right? He works so that we will. He works so that we have this desire. You have a desire to grow in grace, don't you? You have a desire to be more faithful in hospitality. You have a desire to be more diligent in evangelistic outreach. You have a desire to grow in understanding of His Word. God is at work in giving you this desire. This is God's work, but He's at work more than in the way of good intentions. He's at work for you both to will and to do. He enables you to do it. And you need Him for that. Again, John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But Philippians 4, verse 19, or 4, verse 13, rather, that I can do all things, Paul says, through Christ who strengthens me. Now, that all things doesn't mean I can jump off the roof of the church and fly so I don't break my bones when I land. The all things that he's talking about there are the things with regard to life lived before God life lived in the joy of our salvation. We can do all those things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do it in and of myself. Now, to appreciate this, I use this, I think, as an example of the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, standing before the Jordan River, and the Lord says, cross. And the waters are flowing rapidly before them. And the Lord says, cross the river. And there's no way they can do that in their own strength. And that yet, in obedience to God's command, they must take the first step and they must put their foot into the Jordan River, and the waters are heaped up like a riverbank. And they walk across on dry land. And that also encourages us with regard to the realization the Lord is asking things of us that are beyond me. And he says, just step forward and realize God is at work. You fulfill your responsibility, take that step beyond what you thought you could do in the confidence that God is at work. And realize as well, your sense of failure sometimes, your sense of discouragement and despondency, maybe despair, do you know that God is at work there too? God is showing you, you need him. And God is reminding you, he loves you. God is reminding you, he will continue to work and he'll not leave or forsake you. So the promise is God is at work. And so step forward and work and work and work and push yourself beyond what you thought you could do, knowing it is God who is at work. For it says here, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So the last aspect is that of pleasure. God delights in your obedience. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. But God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you come to God in Jesus Christ, it's possible for you to please God. When you take strides forward in the joy of your salvation to work out the details, God delights in that. God has delighted in mercy, in saving you. He's a God who delights in these things. And we could see in Zephaniah 3, verse 17, in the blessing of our salvation, he rejoices over you with loud shouts and loud singing. He delights in our salvation in Jesus Christ. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he delights in our salvation. And just like he says of his son, the Lord Jesus, when he takes up his work or when he's going to get ready to go to the cross, or at his baptism and at transfiguration, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. We know that now that we are in Christ, in the joy of our salvation, he sees us in Christ and he is well pleased with us. I love that, he says. That's his pleasure. It's for his good pleasure. Our salvation is for the praise of the glory of his grace. He has saved us for his good pleasure. He delights in saving sinners like you and me. And therefore, we understand in the joy of walking with him and pressing out the details, working it out because God is at work, our delight is found in his delight. Our pleasure is found in his pleasure. And you know that from experience, don't you? You know that when you've lived in the way of secret sin, when you have been piled up with guilt and not turned from those things, you know what it is to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and your very life is grievous. But you also know that when you have strived to live for the glory of God. Even if you face opposition, even if it's not easy, even if you're going through dark and difficult times, but your desire, Lord, is I want to serve you in the joy of my salvation, there is a deep sense of pleasure and delight in him. You all know this quotation. I've used it before, but I just feel it's appropriate here. I think of Eric Liddell, the missionary, but before that, the Olympic runner out of Scotland about 100 years ago. But this is the quote, at least you hear it from the movie Chariots of Fire, if I may draw attention to that. And he speaks this way. He says, "When the Lord made me for his glory, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." And when we go into the year of our Lord, 2022, and when we run, that is to say, when we strive to work out the details in every aspect of our lives, when we're changing diapers, or when we're fixing computer problems, or when we're selling product on eBay, what have you, when we strive to do these things for his glory, we feel his pleasure. God is at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for your glorious work, the work of salvation that has been accomplished for us in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we are not asked to do this ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. We have not saved ourselves. It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. This has not been of ourselves, lest any of us should boast. It is the gift of God. And we praise you that we may now live in the joy of your grace and of the gift you have given us in Jesus Christ. And now, dear God, we want to work. We want to serve you. We want to honor you in all that you set before us. We know that there will be challenges. We know that our strength is unequal to the task. But we also have been encouraged in your word this morning. It is God who works in us, both to will and to do, Lord, for your good pleasure. Do your mighty work, O Lord. Work mightily in us and through us, and help us to honor you as we strive to glorify you. Cause us to be a blessing to each other, in the life of fellowship we enjoy in the church, and to those around us. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.